This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. We're going to take you through a little journey, a little, little history lesson. We're going to help you guys who, you know, maybe are thinking about starting a gym today. Or maybe know someone that wants to start a gym, or maybe you started a gym and maybe you're thinking about opening another location. This could really work for a fair few different people, but today we want to talk about the amount of money that you'll need to open a gym in 2020, because times have definitely changed. And I think that some of the old adages from the history of gyms being open, there's a lot of mythology around that. There's a lot of stuff that people think is true, which is not true. And really, this this episode today was inspired by a conversation I had with two young entrepreneurs, well, older than me, but young in terms of their entrepreneurial history, that are looking to start a gym. So mutual friend connected us, wanted some questions answered, wanted some advice. And yeah, one of the things that came up was they really just had no idea how much it costs to start a gym. And obviously, it really depends as well on what type of gym you want to start. That's obviously really important. But yeah, these guys were just way off the mark and for what they wanted. And yeah, I thought we could talk about a few different scenarios of what it takes or what it costs to start a gym and yeah, everything that's involved in that process. Before we dive into it, we just went through our business coaching in person with MPE. It was great to meet some of the people that at the event that signed up and committed, and seeing some old faces and some new faces there, which is fantastic. So it's just pumped. I'm just pumped that there's a group now. There's a group that are like fully involved, fully invested in bringing back sort of the Australian contingent. Because it's just nice knowing in our country, in our cities, that, you know, there are gym owners now taking professional development very seriously.
Yeah, it's critical. And I think it's really fun for us to have other Aussies to chat to and honestly to see what works in the Australian market, because it's really different to the American market.
Yep.
And a lot of the ads or like the advice you get online actually just doesn't work at all in our market. Like we've seen it, we've been around long enough to know that it doesn't work. So finding out like what actually works, and that's from other gym owners, but and honestly from your coaches that has been working in Australia for years, is more fun and more effective.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, for sure. Look, definitely the longer you're in the gym game, the more you realize how different the Australian and American markets are. And, you know, not to toot our own horn, but we know it better than anyone. Like, we've been to America 3 times. Every time we go, we visit as many gyms as we possibly can. And everything's different. Everything's different. Americans do some things way better than Aussies. But it doesn't mean that if you take that and bring it to Australia, it's going to work. You know, it works in the context of America. So, lots of stuff. But let's talk about a few different types of gyms that you could open. The most common ones. And then what we think now is the cost of opening them. But before we get into that, for us, we opened basically with, we did buy our gym, but we could have set up the gym the way it is now, our first location, for what do you reckon? 60 grand?
Yeah, I would say all the three gyms we opened was around the $50,000 to $60,000 mark.
Yeah.
Because they were all pretty close to empty when we got them, so we were just paying for the setup.
Yeah.
So that's where they were, which at the time was like seemed reasonable.
Yeah. The only thing that probably wasn't in there was the development approval, which is the council stuff, which you could add somewhere between 5 to 10 grand for that. So yeah, you're looking at probably 60, 70. And we didn't do any brand development. We didn't do any brand work. We didn't do a naming workshop. We didn't do any marketing stuff. We didn't pay for any digital advertising. We didn't pay for a sales team or a front desk. We didn't do any of that. So I think now, and the reason the price has gone up is just because of how competitive it is now. So entry point for a lot of people is a franchise. F45, Orange Theory, Barry's Bootcamp, Anytime Fitness. These are all kind of different franchises that if you want to get into the gym game, you can purchase. And I think, what's F45 cost now to open? I know it started at like 60 grand.
Well, if you look at the total cost, it would add up to open one. You're not really going to get out of it under 300,000.
Under 300,000.
Yeah. So obviously the fee to open one is much lower than that. But when you add up all the equipment, I think the equipment fee is around 100 grand
to actually open one. It used to be less than that, right?
Yeah, it's gone up over time. Yeah. They've got nicer, you know. Of course, but remember, there's like, you know, mad screens in every single one. Yeah, there's like good equipment in every single one. There's the all flooring, the regular stuff you need for a gym.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty nice one. So yeah, you're not really going to get out of opening an F45 under 300 grand. I think the square meters and stuff on it does change. But just the franchise fee is 50 grand. The equipment's 100.
Yeah.
So you're already 150 and we know how quickly the rest adds up. And then if you're looking at something more expensive on the franchise, section is like an orange theory, which people spend from $500,000 to $1 million.
Yeah,
On opening, depending on the one. Obviously, they generally turn over more money as well.
Mm.
And then if you're going for a big gym, you probably know what you're doing because they're a lot more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think probably the thing where people get lost is they only write down a few expenses to open the gym. They think, okay, what can I see? Mm. So, all the things that you can see that you're like, all right, that is what costs money. But there is so much that you don't see which costs money. So, I'll give you an example of a few things that start to really add up. Council fees, which I just mentioned. So, that is preparing everything you need to approve the space that you're in for the use that you want. So, councils around the world, I assume, most of them in Australia, they don't just grant you, you know, start dropping weight, start, you know, creating crazy music and doing all kinds of loud stuff. They don't just go for it. You know, you have to apply with the council and say, hey, I'm about to do this in a property in your location. Is this okay? Will this disturb the peace? Will this create chaos? Like, this is the kind of signage I'm going to put up. This is, you know, this is safe. You know, this has, you know, fire safety in place. It has disabled access. It meets all the requirements that every business has to go under. And gyms obviously just have a lot more of that than someone who's just setting up an office with a couple of desks. So that ends up costing a fair bit of money that most people don't expect. If you do it properly, it's probably going to cost you somewhere between like $6,000 to $10,000. The other things that you can't see is usually like little costs that came up, like maybe you need to install a new fire safety system. There's $2,000. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to create a disabled bathroom. There's, you know, $10,000, $15,000. You know, wasn't up to scratch, for example. Really simple stuff like setting up a business with business partners potentially and having shareholders agreements. That's lawyer fees, legal fees, and that costs money. What's that? $3,000-$4,000 there. So these sorts of things start to add up, and then you think, okay, I got to build the brand, I got to build the design work, you got to pay a designer. That stuff's getting expensive now. It's $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 even. And so right there, you've got like nearly $20,000-$30,000 of costs that you didn't see. You know, you stepped in on day one, you observed someone else's gym. These are things that cost money that were already paid for. So that's some real unknown stuff, I think, that people don't really consider to begin with.
Yeah, and that's why whenever, you know, generally the estimates you'll make, you go speak to an experienced gym owner. They'll be like, okay, cool, it's going about double.
Yeah.
You know, one and a half, probably what you've written down there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just really what you've got to take into consideration. I think putting a lot of effort into how can I do this in like the most effective way is going to matter. You know, like for us, it was like taking over an existing gym, which is like was a huge cut down in cost. But then you've also got to weigh it up because you're like, hey, if you take over a gym, you save money because you're maybe already set up 3 months earlier than you were going to on your lease.
Right.
So you can start making money like much sooner and you're saving money in those areas as well. So there's a lot to go into it, but I think what's pretty critical today is that even though the spectrum goes from, you know, $50,000 like the fucking bare minimum to open up a gym all the way up to the $1 million to open an Orange Theory, it's getting very, very challenging to actually have a successful gym with the $50,000 open up.
$1 million Orange Theory doesn't guarantee a return.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm just saying that, you know, that's like the spectrum of the kind of, you know, unit like a micro gym of how much you can spend on it is usually in that range for people.
Right.
But even though a lot of successful gyms opened up with that $50,000 mark, I think it's much more challenging these days to still do that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to open up a $50,000 gym and you're going to try and charge the same rates as the gym that spent $500,000 on their fit out.
Yeah.
And, or maybe you're like $7 cheaper.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a challenge. That just wasn't so much of a challenge 7 years ago. Because 7 years ago, there just wasn't that many other options. There weren't many expensive micro gyms around, you know? So you're like, oh, okay, it's either like this massive, huge global gym or this cool, like grungy, cheap gym.
What was, I'm just thinking
now. Not cheap, sorry, but just like, you know, grungy, independent, small gym.
Right. I'm just thinking now, you know, when we opened 6 years ago, our first location, what was the nicest boutique gym you could buy? Because Barry's hadn't come. Orange Theory hadn't come. F45 hadn't started. So, those are like some of the major players there. They weren't really around.
Just didn't really exist. I mean, there were some like nice CrossFits that were coming in kind of like global-ish gyms.
Yeah.
But still wasn't common.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you could really get away with it.
Right.
Whereas now, it generally takes a bigger investment. Because it's the standard that people accept.
Mm.
It's now higher. You could probably get away without bathrooms and showers before.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's, you know, it's a lot more challenging. And that stuff exponentially increases how much it costs.
Yeah.
So, I think, you know, if you're going for the a gym a bit more like an F45, like an independent-style gym, but avoiding the franchise fees and all the other fees that come with getting a franchise, you probably still can get it done around 100, 150, maybe up towards 200, depending on where you are. But that's still, you know, two or three times what it used to be.
Yeah.
To open up a gym. But we truly see it as very, very challenging to open up something like that at a lower price point.
Mm. Yeah, so one of the things I didn't really, well, we just made it work because we had so many business partners is, which we don't now, but one of the things that people have to consider is you may not want to do a ton of the jobs at the start. So your some of your opening costs that you need to start with is, you know, 3 or 4 months salary for a staff member to coach classes or maybe run the front desk or make sales for you or do some admin work. Like there are some jobs that for one or two people might be too much, you know, so you will need that third person. And if there's no revenue to begin with, you may need extra instead, just in case you don't make it on day one, which, you know, could be, you know, I'd recommend pre-sales. I think it's super important. But yeah, on day one, if you open up, you're not bringing in revenue, then there is a really, really good chance that you will need to have what they call it is working capital. And that is just like basically a reserve tank, right? But, you know, 50 grand, 60 grand, whatever you need. Maybe it's 20 grand, maybe less, but just something to work with that you can kind of like your savings, right? That you can sink in and start that early cash flow that you'll need. And really, I think a lot of it will go to marketing, bringing people in the door, and then just paying a staff member that you could consider. And I think a lot of people, they go, okay, I've got 100 grand to open the gym and I'm going to budget 100 grand for the entire build out, the fit out, the design, everything. And they don't leave anything in the bank account to start with. No, you've got to have 150 because you need 50 going in the bank account when you start. It's very important.
Yeah, it's critical. Yeah, and that's why you just need more these days. That's why I think it is really challenging for people just to go from like maybe doing a PT or something like that into it. And why often the more successful ones we've seen have just been people that already had a client base going into opening the gym. So maybe they're doing a boot camp or they already had like a pretty successful PT business so that they at least had like a revenue stream as soon as they opened the doors, which I think makes things just avoids like how much that risk is when you first open.
Yeah.
But one of the last things I would say to consider, which I think we probably didn't consider as much when we first opened, but is a good way to look at it, is if you're going to drop 200,000 or so on your fit out, people are often like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I think I'll definitely be able to make that back. But when you're honest about how long it does take to make it back, I mean, even if you're doing like $500,000 at your gym a year, you're like, oh, awesome. Like, we've done pretty well. We're doing $500,000 in a year. You know, most gyms make like 10% profit on their money. Still only making 50 grand profit at the end of your 1 year's really good, profitable year.
You haven't even been taxed yet.
Nah. And you spend 200,000 on it.
Yeah.
So that's still 4 years of hard work.
Once you built it to that point.
Once you got it at your $500,000, you know, solid gym that you're really proud of, just to break even.
Yeah.
And maybe your lease is over at that point and they kick you the fuck out.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah,
it's pretty crazy, and that's why I think you know, when people sometimes they don't quite see it that way, they're like, oh, you know, I spent that much on it, but it's doing pretty well now, like it's been worth it. Maybe it's been worth it more from just like the emotional and ride that you got to go on, or the job that you now get to have. But you do need to also think like really carefully about, okay, how long is it really going to take to like make all this money back in profit that I put back away in my own bank account after spending it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you can sell the business and, you know, make the 200 grand plus whatever. But yeah, you're sinking a lot of time and money and effort and emotion into it. So just, you know, definitely things to consider. Absolutely. And look, just as a general rule, everything, every expense that you wrote down, every itemized expense on your sheet that you put, you know, you can pretty safely add 20-30% to that right now. So if you've made one of those plans, or you're making one, or you think about making one, every time you write something down, you think it is, add 30%. That's a great rule. Actually, Ray Dalio, the investor, he says add 50%, but let's just be more conservative. Let's add 30%. So, yeah, it's a lot to consider. And I think, you know, sometimes the hard conversation is you don't have enough money. And so you're left with a couple options. Don't open, save more money, which is obviously the most difficult, or get an investor, get friends, get a family, get someone you know that has money.
Well, I would split that. How can you almost split that into three different options that we've seen? So you could getting an investor, which I think a lot of people do, is like there's the first option of just getting business partners that are like really more investors, because they just like come in with money, they don't do much work.
Yeah,
it's more like a business partner that helps you afford it.
Yeah,
which you got to think pretty carefully about. Then there's like your rich friend who's like maybe a PT client or something like that. That's just like a wealthy individual that's looking for something to support.
Yeah.
They can come in. Or sometimes like maybe if you're doing good and you got a really good plan, you get like a proper investor that is going to put money in, but then it's like, when is my return? Like, I want out of this thing in 5 years.
Like a VC.
You know, I'm sure some of these like big Barry's gyms have plenty of investors on board. And they're being very careful about where they put their money, I think. And they're looking for like, where's my exit? And this thing better grow huge.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully you've probably considered a few things that you hadn't before. But yeah, it's all definitely worth it. And I think, look, if some of you are really close to opening a new space, you really can, you know, kind of on the fence, you know, after having that conversation with these two young guys, I couldn't help but think how much they need the support of a mentor, especially now. It's just so competitive. I mean, yeah, you could start without, you know, an investor as a mentor or a parent or a friend or paid mentorship like MPE. You could start without it just because it wasn't competitive, right? So put it this way, if you start in, you know, pick up basketball, you know, you're going to verse some average people, but you can miss a few shots, you can miss a couple of layups, you know, your handles can be off and it's all right. You're not going to get smashed. You're not going to lose that much. You've got time. But now it's like starting in the NBA, man, depending on where you live, like in major cities, you are starting in the best league and it's so competitive. And if you come out there, you don't know how to dribble, you're going to get fucking smashed.
Yep.
You're going to get laughed at. You're going to get kicked off the team so fast. And the easiest example to point out is the hospitality industry, right? It's so competitive now. A really nice restaurant just next to near my place right now opened. We probably theorized at least $500,000 on a fit out. Not a single person in that joint. They already took a sign down. Barely been open a few months and their sign is already coming down. It is so competitive in the hospitality industry and food these days. If you're coming in and you are not doing things right, then you're fucked. Even if you spend $500,000 on a fit out, if you're not marketing right, if you're not selling right, if your operations aren't smooth, then all that money's going to go to waste. Like just because you spent that money doesn't mean it's going to make itself back. So much to consider. That's why, you know, getting help, you know, paid help like MPE can be really good. So we encourage you guys, if anyone's sitting on the fence for that stuff, you're starting gym, go to MPE.com. MyMuscleProject.com/MPE and check that out. But if not, guys, hopefully that episode was helpful for you. And we'll speak to you all very soon. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.